This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. The State Fair's political days happened this week. Two parties, two wildly different moods.
When they come here next week from every state in the United States and all of the press from all over the world, you know what they're going to see? They're going to see a state where Democrats deliver.
Right now, there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of energy. What we want to do is bring more people on who want to move this state forward.
I think it's really incumbent upon us right now to stop, reflect, and make sure we remind people what this party truly stands for and what this party has done.
We will win elections. So we're going to be smart and we're going to stick to our plan. And Illinois Republicans will play the critical role in this cycle in stopping Harris and J.B. Pritzker from spreading their influence of their leftist propaganda across the nation.
All right, that last voice there, Kathy Salvey, chair of the Republican Party. Before that, State Senate Minority Leader John Curran, both Republicans. And at the beginning of this clip, we heard from, of course, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker and Illinois Treasurer Michael Frerichs speaking for the Democrats during their fair day. With us now to talk about what happened on two of the biggest political days of the year in Illinois politics is Jerry Nowicki, editor-in-chief of Capital News Illinois. Jerry, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
So there's been a lot of conversation about how the vibes have shifted for Democrats at the national level since President Joe Biden stepped aside, Vice President Kamala Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz have risen to the top of the ticket. How did you see that reflected among Democrats during their state fair events?
Yeah, certainly there was a lot more excitement for the Democrats. You know, at the Republican convention on, I think that was July 18th or something, just about a month ago, there was like a euphoria there with how far Trump appeared to be in the polls and whatnot. So just the fact that Democrats now have a candidate that is, you know, can speak to the microphones and get people fired up and have large rallies and just support that base. I think there's that euphoria that we saw at the Republican convention will certainly be there at the Democratic National Convention as well.
You know, I can remember just a month ago, we could not get Democrats to come on the show to talk to us. They were like hunkering down, and everyday people who I sort of identify with Democrats among our listeners would send messages. Why are you talking about Biden's age? Oh, at 21st show. People seem to be, I don't know if scared is the right term, or certainly down in the dumps. Was it different this time around? Were Democrats sort of excited to talk with reporters at these rallies?
It was. Everyone was excited. Now there was also, we asked the question, you know, have you ever seen anything like this to just about everyone we spoke to, our reporters at Capital News Illinois, and everyone was like, this is amazing. You know, we haven't really seen anything like this, but we've also never seen anything like what they called a selfless decision by Biden to sort of give way to the next generation. But they were all also very cautious to say, you know, Trump outperformed polls in the last two elections. We still have to do the work on the ground. We still have to knock the doors, and we still have to do, you know, the nitty gritty of campaigning if we want to see this through to the ballot box and not just, you know, some random polls.
Yeah, worth remembering they are sort of statistically tied now in a lot of these states, even though Harris has taken an edge in some. So, all right. So we talk about how politics at the top of the ticket can have some significant effects down ballot. Politico, I saw, I had a quote from House Speaker Chris Welch earlier this week. He said, we're seeing districts in play that were not in play before. I mean, Jerry, Democrats have super majorities in both the House and the Senate already. They already hold all the statewide offices. Where is there for the party to go from here?
Well, yeah. So Speaker Welch, you ask him, and it could be as, you know, over 80 seats in the House, which would be kind of ridiculous, unprecedented. You choose the adjective. But he thinks there's room for growth, certainly. We're going to have to see. But when I spoke to Speaker Welch, he brought up, I said, you know, have you ever seen a shift in polling like this? And he likened it to 2022, when the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade and the Dobbs decision. He said there was this polling bounce and, you know, Democrats performed better at the ballot box than anyone had predicted they would. So he said, you know, we're seeing that, but a potential greater bounce than that, and we haven't even gotten to the convention yet. So, but, you know, he too was also cautious in terms of, you know, we've still got to do the work.
80 seats. Okay. Obviously, that's his sort of talking things up. I did a little quick
math. Well, he didn't say 80. I did ask him for a number. But,
okay.
You know, you do the math. If you're adding seats, you're approaching 80 pretty quickly.
So even if you are at 80, that's 68% of the Illinois House seats. If you look at the sort of the way the state tends to break down for statewide elections, it's about 55 Democrats, 45% Republican. I guess that's a testament to the gerrymandering, the map making that Democrats have done too.
Yeah, and that was certainly a talking point for a lot of the Republican lawmakers. Some called it cheating. I think Tony McCombie said it was a disenfranchisement, essentially. But, you know, the Democrats in power drew the map to keep Democrats in power. And McCombie said, you know, we just have to work harder than them to try to overcome that. But, you know, the other side of that coin is she also said, yeah, we're not expecting any million-dollar donors to come along at this point. So it's more about getting a good turnout this year so that we can get a good governor turnout in 2026. So, you know, I mean, it's a realistic view of things, but it's certainly not a rosy one for Republicans on the short timeline before next election.
No, that's such a good point, because the Republican Party a decade ago really was benefiting from people like then Governor Bruce Rauner, multi-hundred millionaire, and Ken Griffin, the hedge fund guy, who were just huge, huge donors to the party, and they seem to be lacking that. We'll put a pin in Republicans and come back to them. I do want to stick with the Democrats for a minute, and quick story. In 2018, Democrats had booked then-former Vice President Joe Biden to be the keynote at their state fair breakfast. He comes down with laryngitis, has to back out, so instead they bring in this guy that, as I recall, most of us in the Springfield press corps had never heard of. He was the mayor of this mid-sized city in Indiana, still pretty obscure. His name was Pete Buttigieg. Obviously, today he's a lot better known. I mentioned that as set up to say the keynote speaker for the Democrats' breakfast this year was a man by the name of Aftab Purawal. First question, who? And second question, what did he have to say?
Yeah, I remember the robust discussion as to how to phoneticize Buttigieg. But yeah, Cincinnati's mayor, he essentially, you know, credited Obama for, you know, getting this younger generation, sparking a younger generation of Democrats. And he said Harris is a manifestation of that and also sort of a parallel to that. You know, he's a Asian American, and he certainly identified with Harris in that regard and saying how important it would be to be a first as a woman of Asian descent. But I think just generally speaking, everyone also noted that they were quick to say, you know, Harris is also the most qualified person for the job whenever they brought up the historic first that she would usher in. But yeah, the Cincinnati mayor, he was basically just an optimistic tone and just the general pretty similar in tenor to Buttigieg from what I remember in 2018.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, maybe we'll all be talking about Aftab Purawal in a few years the way we talk about Mayor Pete nowadays. One more speaker I'd like to spend a few moments on the Democratic side, and that's Senate President Don Harmon. His message to his party was embrace the boring. What did he mean by that?
You know, I actually caught him at the fair after that speech, and I told him, you know, a 2-minute speech about boring from you seems pretty on brand. I think it was the rare occasion where I actually made someone I was trying to interview speechless. But he basically just said, you know, we've gone through trying times. The governance doesn't have to be entertainment. It can just be good governance is the way he phrased it to me, I believe. So it's just sort of like the reality TV nonstop type of news onslaught. He just says, you know, let's just do good government and let's make it a little bit boring.
Yeah, how many campaigns in a row have we seen now where one of the messages has been a return to normalcy? And yet, it's not clear that's really what the voters want, at least a plurality of voters. So time will tell. All right, let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. And on this Friday, we are recapping what happened at the big political days at the Illinois State Fair this week. The Democrats with Governor's Day on Wednesday, Republicans on Thursday. We're talking with Jerry Nowicki, editor-in-chief of Capital News Illinois. And so, Jerry, let's move on to the Republicans. As I said at the beginning, this is a state party that has struggled to find its way, especially since former President Donald Trump has become the sort of standard bearer of the Republican Party. What did yesterday tell us about the path Illinois Republicans are taking?
Well, there was sort of this acceptance of Trump, really. I think in previous years, they tried to walk a tightrope of not really mentioning him too much, you know, certainly not in presidential years, but it is a presidential year. He is on top of the ticket. So there was a level of embrace there. I mean, there's just a level of looking at the race with reality. And they had former President Trump's acting attorney general, I think from, I don't know how long he was there, but Matthew Whitaker from Iowa, he was their guest speaker. And he just said, you know, I think one of his lines was, Democrats are just excited to have a candidate with a pulse, but their honeymoon period is going to wear off at some point. And, you know, people are going to start looking at Kamala Harris differently, whether that remains to be seen as to whether that'll actually happen. But they're just sort of looking at it that way, to where this is a bounce part of the campaign, and there's still over 80 days left to change the narrative once again.
I can remember, and I'm sure you can too, that when Bruce Rauner was still governor in a top Illinois Republican politics, you could barely get him to say the name Trump. It was like he was Voldemort, right? He who shall not be named. And your colleague, Hannah Meisel, put it on Twitter this way: even after Bruce Rauner, who had to get increasingly creative to avoid even acknowledging Trump, Illinois Republicans had clung to this habit, but the party has evolved. And other than a dwindling group of GOP elected officials, the embrace of Trump is palpable. Talk about that. So you're seeing them embrace him now? There's not this distancing anymore?
Well, it depends on the politician, because Senate Republican leader John Curran, he spoke to the morning breakfast of the State Central Committee, and he said, we got to remind people what's in the GOP's history. He's, of course, brought up Abraham Lincoln. You know, this is the party that ended slavery, that passed civil rights, that gave women the right to vote, and fought the war on terror. So after that speech, you know, in the gaggle, I said, you know, Leader Curran, you made a point there, kind of describing a GOP that predates Donald Trump. I said, was that intentional to leave him out? And, you know, he answered sort of in the way you'd expect a politician to, who's trying to walk that tightrope. And he just said, you know, we have a great history and we got to remind voters of that. So if you look at Leader Curran, you won't hear him say Trump's name. He's hardly even responded to questions about the former president. He just always turned it back to, you know, in a state Senate where he's the leader, the focus has to be on local issues. It has to be what Illinois is doing. And he's really working hard to toe that line.
You know, the Republicans, even just last month, the now former chairman of the state party, Don Tracy, said they were still struggling with infighting. This has been a theme for many years. Do you see things that rift healing? How did that look yesterday?
Well, it's difficult to say, because you see a lot of those, you know, the Jim Durkin never Trumpers of the GOP just sort of left elected office. So if the rift is healing, it's because the people who were, you know, fighting staunchly on this never Trump side are just a little quieter or have retired, basically. So, you know, it's hard to say. Kathy Salvey, the new chair, multiple times quipped that this is now her seventh child, the Illinois GOP. She's the mother of six. So she just says the party needs some mothering. We got to treat it like a dinner table, to when you disagree with someone, just remember the mission you're on. And the mission, as she related, was elect Trump, Vance, and everyone down ballot that's a Republican.
What is the remaining Republican pitch then to voters, to Illinois voters this November, from what you've seen? And I guess how does it differ from what we've seen in the past few election cycles where it hasn't resonated with that many people, just, you know, given what we said about gerrymandering?
Yes. So the themes that really kept surfacing again and again are crime. There, you know, there's still, the Republicans believe there's still a level of animosity toward the Safety Act and what they call policies that are too lenient to offenders. And then there's, they say, taxes. They're trying to bring up that, you know, there had to be some level of new taxes in the budget to balance it this year. And of course, inflation, which is the one where, you know, everybody is feeling, no matter what their voting class is. So those are the main types of things. They mentioned immigration at the southern border at some times. And of course, that hits home in Illinois because of the number of people who've been bused from the southern border to Chicago. But, you know, that's, there seemed to have been a lull there. I don't know if there will be more next week amid the convention, but that's one of the things they said they talk about as well when they go door to door.
Well, we will have our eyes on the convention next week and be curious to see how Democrats handle that, whether there's protests. I know you and your team will be covering it as well. Jerry Nowicki is editor-in-chief of Capital News Illinois. Thanks so much for sharing your time and reporting with us, Jerry.
Yeah, thank you, Brian.
More to come after a short break. We love hearing from you about what we've been talking about on the show. You can keep in touch by emailing talk@21stshow.org, talk@21stshow.org. After the break, we are going to be talking with Urbana's Poet Laureate about an upcoming event in Central Illinois, the topic of which is reading freely. What does it mean to read freely? The question after the break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.